This is the Michael K. Show podcast. Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, everybody, it's the Don Show. It never ends.
Those are facts.
The Don Show, starring only Don.
Good for me!
It's the Don Show, starting now!
Tweet that!
Hey, hey, Don!
Hey, hey, hey! Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hopefully everybody had a phenomenal Turkey Day. Stuffed your face, got to see three football games, one of which was quality as far as the opponents were concerned, and two of them were actually competitive right down to the wire. Bears winning on a last-second field goal. Raiders do the same, hold on, win the game against the Cowboys, and boy, you just look at the Cowboys and you just say to yourself, man, if one of these three teams like the Eagles, the Giants, or Washington just had anything going, they'd really be able to challenge the Cowboys, but doesn't look like that's going to be the case, and then the Bills win in blowout fashion over the Saints. So I got my three-point play, and Michael got points, Peter got points, but I got my three, Michael got his three, so Peter was probably rooting against getting his two, so we wouldn't get our three, and
Excuse
then Peter
me?
Ends up losing the Cowboy game, which was his one-point play, so it could be moving day here in Week 12 of the NFL. So thanks for everybody that was listening to the Rangers' big win, 5-2 over the Boston Bruins. And the Knicks are coming up at 6:30. They're playing host to the Phoenix Suns. We're going to do a lot of football over the next couple of hours and want you to join in. So if you're driving in the car and the kids are screaming in the back, turn me up. If the wife's going to run in to get something in Target and takes 2 hours to come back in, and you got the car running to keep it warm for her because you're able to at least talk your way into staying in the car instead of having to follow her around Target or wherever she's shopping, well, I'm with you. And if you got the cell phone all warmed up and charged up, 1-800-919-3776. You give me a call, we'll talk some football here for the next couple of hours. 5:30, Mike Tannenbaum will join us, and I got to get into it with him. Even suggesting Ryan Fitzpatrick could be an option for the Giants next year at quarterback. But we're going to begin with the two games that are coming up on Sunday that are not about this year, they're about the future. And that's Giants, Eagles, you can tell me all you want. Wait a minute, Don, 3-7, extra wild card. They're not going to the playoffs. And certainly the Jets are not going to the playoffs. And the Jets are going to be in Houston to take on the Texans, a game you can hear right here on 98.7 ESPN New York with coverage beginning at 11 o'clock and then kickoff at 1 o'clock. Dan and Greg do a great job leading you into Bob and Marty. But the reason, other than just being a diehard fan of either of these two teams, what you are going to watch for is it's an audition of sorts. One, an audition whether coach should keep his job, and the other auditioning to see if he really is at least heading in the direction to be the franchise quarterback. All right, hear me out. Let's start with the Giants. Michael and I get in this all the time. Michael believes Judge is coming back. Jordan Ronan has said he believes the Judge is coming back. And maybe he is. Maybe they're looking at it like, hey, this is how the Giants are operating, but could and should are two different words, all right? And I don't think he should come back, but I do think there is a scenario in which he could come back. And the reason I say that is because there's seven games left in the season, and that's a long time. You know, forget we have an extra week, so seven games is enough of a sample size. Joe Judge has just fired his offensive coordinator, Jason Garrett. So he's pinned the blame on their offensive struggles on him. He has called out Graham on defense. He made the statement that they have enough talent to win. So he's not blaming the players. He's blaming the coaching. He's one of the coaches. So now the audition begins over the next seven games on whether he can come back or not. But so far, the resume is not good. 9-17. 9-17. Why am I bending over backwards to keep a coach that's 9-17? He went 6-10 last year. You could say the injury to Daniel Jones hurt him as far as him being compromised in the Arizona game, wasn't 100% the rest of the year, and missed an opportunity to go to the playoffs. Okay, 6-10 first year, some injuries. They go out and load up the offense. They go out and draft and sign free agents to make their quarterback better. And their quarterback has not been better. And now Jason Garrett's lost his job because of it. If this Giant team finishes with the same or less of a record than they did last year, you are not moving in the right direction. So don't give me, you could only give them 2 years. 2 years firing a coach is a bad job if year two is better than year one. But if year two is worse than year one, then where are you going? What, I got to give him a third year to finish even worse? 9-17. Now he's got 7 games left. He's got Sunday against the Eagles at home. One of 3 home games they have left, which is probably good news because the Giants have been lousy forever at home. At the Dolphins, at the Chargers, home against the Cowboys, at the Eagles, at the Bears, home against Washington. Here is what I will tell you I want. Now, it's difficult to just put a number on things because you got to dig deeper than just the record sometimes. Because who knows what can happen in these 7 games. There could be catastrophic injury. They could get hit with COVID protocol and just completely throw any chance of winning games away. But everything being equal, there's only 2 games left on their schedule where you say, boy, I'd be impressed if they won. At LA, home against the Cowboys. Not saying they're not winnable. Remember, this is a team with a backup quarterback last year that went to Seattle and beat the Seahawks. This is a league where we've seen countless teams over the last 2-3 weeks be double-digit favorites and lose outright. But, hey, I'll give them the benefit of saying, listen, Chargers, Cowboys, back-to-back, that'd be tough. But the other games, Eagles twice, hey, the Eagles are playing well, but they're still under 500. Bears are about ready to fire their head coach. Dolphins are a mess, especially offensively. And then Washington, the Giants have played well against Washington in their history. May not win all the games, but they have played well against Washington. Should have beat them the first time that they played them. So I'll say this. It's going to be tough to sweep the Eagles considering that they always play poorly against the Eagles. Eagles seem to have their number. And with the Chargers and Cowboys back-to-back weeks, I don't think it's that crazy that if you're a Joe Judge fan, and you're bullish on the Giants the way Mike Tannenbaum says every week he is, and again, we'll talk to Mike in about an hour, then there's no reason for this team to not go at least 4-3. So, and that's a loss against the Chargers, a loss against the Cowboys, and you split against the Eagles. They should beat the Bears. They should beat the Dolphins. They can beat Washington and really should. Because if I'm going to give the Eagles a win because they've had the Giants number, I should be able to give the Giants the win against Washington in week 18 because they've had Washington's number. I'm only asking the guy to go 4-3 in his last 7 games. That's all I'm asking him to do. And if you go 4-3, well, then that would be 7 wins. That it would at least be one more win than last year, which kind of is the same because there's one more game. But then I can look and say, all right, look at the way he closed out the season. They won 7 games. They did have some injuries. Barkley wasn't 100%. They've had injuries to their wide receivers. They've had to play without Peppers. They've had to play without Martinez. Hey, if they go 7-10, all right, I'll entertain a conversation about bringing Joe Judge back. But if it's less than that, guys, come on, really, really. And this, I didn't even mention the fact that if Gettleman's gone, then the new general manager should bring in his own coach no matter what the record is. But I'm just talking specifically about Judge deserving, quote-unquote, to come back. The air quotes, deserving to come back. You got to give me 4-3 or better. You give me less than 4-3, then what am I doing? What am I doing? Now to the Jets. Zach Wilson's going to play. And maybe he's playing because there's a lot of other options, considering that Flacco and White are in COVID protocol. But I guess you could play Josh Johnson if Wilson couldn't go. I mean, Johnson played well against Indianapolis in garbage time, and he is a professional quarterback. But Wilson's playing, and it's the first time that he is going to start a game with LaFleur up in the press box and the offense, you know, pretty much clicking at the way it's supposed to be. And why do I say it's clicking? Well, Mike White, who's a 5th-round pick that was an afterthought this season, tears up the Bengals for a win and looked good against Indianapolis before he got hurt. All right? Now, Buffalo killed him, but Buffalo's got a really good defense. But White has shown that he can excel in this offense. Josh Johnson played 2.5 quarters, and he threw for 317 yards and 3 touchdowns. He had a quarterback rating of 103.4 in this offense. Guy's in his mid-30s. He's got 1 foot out the door. And then Joe Flacco in a loss against Miami threw for 291 and two touchdowns. And hadn't played in like a month. More than that, because he wasn't playing in Philadelphia. So he basically gets dusted off and goes out there and almost throws for 300 yards against the Dolphin team that supposedly you couldn't possibly start Mike White against because their defense is too complicated. So Zach Wilson's being handed an offense that if you've got any clue, you should be able to put up some numbers against a lousy Houston Texans team that's not going to win two in a row. I mean, they had that unbelievable win against Tennessee. They're not winning again. So you got to like the Jets' chance of winning. So Zach Wilson, show me something. You've been sitting there and watching, you know, two quarterbacks that are on their way to retirement and another guy that's going to be 27 years old and never thought he was going to get a chance to play actually put up some numbers. Zach, you got to put up some numbers for me, buddy. You got to do it. You can't go out there and throw three picks and get sacked five times and just look clueless because, dude, you were drafted the second overall pick. I know you weren't ready to start this season, but again, Johnson, Flacco, White, you're going up against a lousy team. I need something. And again, I'm not asking for a lot here. Can I get a quarterback rating north of 90? Can I get 200-plus yards passing? Can I get a clean game with no turnovers? Can I get a couple of touchdown passes? Can I see a quarterback that I want to see again? I mean, how bad would it look if he ends up looking as bad as he did earlier in the season? Then you start to wonder, well, maybe it's not LaFleur. Maybe it's not the lack of talent. Maybe it's just him. So we're late in the season here. He's had a chance to watch. He's had a chance to play a little bit. It's the right matchup for him. It's an offense that's been clicking and been doing some things outside of the Buffalo game. Got to give me something. So Sunday's audition day. Joe Judge, do you deserve to be the coach? Zach Wilson, are you the franchise quarterback? Let's see something. You're not going to prove it all on Sunday, but can you at least take a step in the right direction? We've opened the door. It's the holidays. We've opened the door up. Hey, come in. Joe, come in. Hang out with us. We want you to be our head coach. You step into the room. Step into the house. It's nice and warm. The fire's going. Turkey's ready. We got a plate for you. Zach, come on in, Zach. Walk in. Take a step into the living room. Tell me you belong. Tell me that you're a franchise quarterback. Beautiful day. We got the game on for you. Nice turkey. Cranberry sauce. Apparently, Michael tried cranberry sauce for the first time. Woo! Did you hear it? Did you feel the earth shake at about 4:30 yesterday when he ate it? And let's just see. Come on. Let's see. Give me a reason to watch because the teams are garbage. They're not going anywhere. Let me see. Joe Judge, let me see. Beat the Eagles. Beat the Eagles at home. Not asking you to move the Empire State Building a couple of blocks. Zach Wilson, go out there and give me a decent start against the lousy Houston Texans team. Can you do that for me? I'm not asking you to put the moon in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm not asking you to do the impossible. Give me something. 1-800-919-3776. You need to give me something, and we're going to go to the phones. I want to hear the venom. I want to hear people go crazy here. You got a nice day off. Let's enjoy. Charlie Elmhurst, you get us started off here on the Don Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Don. Happy holidays. Good to talk to you.
You too, buddy.
Don, so I've been listening to the show a lot, and I see the difference between Michael and Don, and I can't stand Michael. He thinks like, oh, you got to like, sometimes you can't keep fire coach like 2 years, every 2 years, and 2 years, take 2 years, once every 2 years. But I can't stand it. But bottom line is, I can't stand this coach. Dude's a clone, a wannabe Belichick. I can't stand him. It's all this cliche. The general manager, the fat slob fraud. And this quarterback with a deer head by punk.
Charlie, we don't need to make the personal attacks. You made your point. Thank you for the call. I don't need to get these personal attacks. All right, Gettleman's probably gone anyway, all right? Unless they rattle off seven straight wins and they want to keep everything intact, Gettleman's probably going to retire at the end of the season. So we don't need to go there, all right? It's the holidays, for God's sakes. But my problem with Michael's argument, I don't even think Michael's really arguing that he's done a good job. I think it's just, well, do you want for a third consecutive time fire a head coach after two seasons? And I understand it's a bad optic, but you know what else is a worse optic? Having a guy coach to continue to prove that he's the guy, and he's not. How many more seasons am I going to throw away? And really, the whole argument started with, if you're bringing in another general manager and that general manager wants to fire Joe Judge, he's firing Joe Judge. I don't care. I am not going to limit my choices based upon the stipulation that Joe Judge comes back. But even that said, if you take a step back, come on, and that's what happened with all three of the coaches. I mean, Shermer was a mess. But McAdoo went from the playoffs to just being a mess. And if Joe Judge takes a step back, I mean, really, are you going to – let's say the Giants go 1-6 the rest of the way and finish with 4 wins. That's 4-13. That's deserving to come back? Now, I don't think they'll go 1-6, but I'm not sure they can go 4-3 either. Let's go to James in Smithtown. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, James?
Hey, Don. Good to talk to you. Great Rangers up, win. I'm curious, if Gettleman stays in some situation where, you know, he winds up staying and he picks another coach, if they fire a Judge, who would you foresee coming in? What style of coach?
Well, here's the thing, James. If Gettleman comes back, Judge is going to come back too. Because if they're going to find enough reason to keep Gettleman, then they're going to find enough reason to keep Judge. I don't think Gettleman's going to get another kick at the can. The only way Judge goes is if Gettleman gets fired. And I'm assuming Gettleman's going to be gone. Whether he's fired or whether he'll just step away, forced to resign, whatever, amicable disconnection, whatever you want to call it, they decide to part ways. I don't think Gettleman's going to get another kick at the can. And honestly, the first two coaches in McAdoo and Shermer were brought here specifically to help Eli. Then they brought in Joe Judge because they thought that he was going to be a really good coach because he fell from the Belichick tree. And they were really impressed by him. And so far, after 9-17 through the first year and a half of his tenure, has not looked good. Now, what would they go after? Well, would they go after an offensive guy to keep, you know, Daniel Jones and to see if he's going to be any good? Would they go a defensive guy because that's kind of the way the Giants' fabric has always been in their history? I don't know. But that's another thing. Can we maybe, if they're going to change Joe Judge, can we go out and get a veteran? Both these teams, Jets and Giants. Since Parcells, what have the Jets done? Herm Edwards, first-time coach. Eric Mangini, first-time coach. Al Groh, first-time coach. Todd Bowles was an interim at the end of his career in Miami, but really first-time head coach. And you bring in Saleh, first-time head coach. Giants, what have they done since the firing of, go way back to Dan Reeves, right? They brought in Fossil, first-time coach. Then they went experience with Tom Coughlin, won a couple of Super Bowls. What have they done since Coughlin? McAdoo, first-time head coach. Shermer, you know, they go with inexperience. Joe Judge, first-time head coach. Why can't they go out and get somebody with a resume? Why can't they go out and get somebody with some experience? Why? Because everybody wants the next Shanahan. Everybody wants the next McVay. Well, what do those guys want? All right, they've been to a Super Bowl. They haven't won it. Why do I want the next John McVay? Why do I want the next guy that everybody loves? But McVay, what has he done in L.A.? All right, he went to a Super Bowl. But you can make the case they've underachieved. Who knows what this year is going to end up being? They go out and they make trades for Von Miller and Odell Beckham Jr. Let's see him win. Now, Miller hasn't played for him yet, and Odell in limited action. But let's see him beat the Packers. Let's see them actually take the step and be the best team in football. I'm not even sure they're the best team in their division. Arizona might be the best team in that division. So everybody wants the next coordinator is about to pop. But, you know what, why can't you go out and get somebody with experience? Always a pleasure to talk to Spike in New Jersey. Forget the St. Pete garbage. Spike in New Jersey, how are you, buddy? Happy Thanksgiving.
Well, thank you, and right back at you. I hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving, and just to be perfectly blunt, I'm thankful for all the people that treat me with a lot of class and keep in touch with me. It's a wonderful feeling. You're my family away from home, and you know that. Now I'm going to get to your performance today. The Rangers are playing really good, and I'm not a big hockey fan. I'm a big Don fan, and this goalkeeper, I was telling Anthony, who's a gigantic Ranger fan, to say the least, this kid looks as good as a goaltender as I've seen in a long time. Am I right?
He is, you know, listen, he's not Lundqvist. He's got a long way to go to get there, but it's the first time where you feel like really good. He was not this good last year. Georgiev hasn't been this good. Kincaid, if you've got a great goaltender, Spike, it's the great equalizer. You know, it really is.
Yeah.
And he has stolen games for them. He made some big saves today to keep the game tied, to keep the Rangers within reach, and allowed them to get their bearings after a disastrous first period. They get outshot 17-5, and they're in a 1-1 tie, and he's the reason why they weren't down, you know, 3-4 goals going into this first intermission. So he's been special this year, no question.
Yeah, absolutely. And one football comment, and if you can roll this around in your brain, and I know you're working your ass off, I don't see a team in the NFL that's really jumping out as the lead contender. But my guess would be, from an interest point, Tampa Bay and New England, which is a possibility. I'm not saying it's the favorite, but certainly is a possibility. I mean, the eyeballs on that game would break every record, I would believe. And thanks for taking me and enjoy the overs.
All right, listen, I appreciate everything, Spike, and have a great holiday, and I'll talk to you next week. Tampa, the giant victory aside, they need to show me a little bit more, but so does everybody else. I mean, who's the best team? Is it the Packers? Right now, record-wise, it seems like they're the best, but you know they've had some tough losses. I probably would say they're number one to me. Is it Dallas? They didn't look great yesterday defensively, but they're 7-4. They're in first place. They're going to win their division. Is it Tampa? Is it Arizona? Young team. It's tough to say. Tampa's in that conversation, and right now New England is playing tremendous football. This is the time of year you want to play better, but is a rookie quarterback going to go to the Super Bowl? That would be something if Belichick was able to pull it off, and I agree with Spike. A Patriot-Buccaneers Super Bowl would be something else. And did you see the number for Cowboys-Raiders yesterday? Almost 40 million people watched that. Incredible. Incredible numbers. The NFL's putting up.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's go to Drew in New Jersey. You're on ESPN New York. Hi, Drew.
Hey, Don. Great to talk with you. Happy and healthy holiday to you, the family, the kids, and everybody.
You too, buddy.
I got two questions for you. One, I'm really a big baseball fan. Baseball fan first, Yankee fan second. But I'm looking to try and get into football. Can you give me the best reason to be either a Giant or a Jet fan?
Okay, I will try to do a pitch for both, all right? Now, full disclosure, I'm a Giant fan, so that's where my allegiance lies, but I also worked for the Jets for 16 years. The easy answer for the Jets is that they've got a young quarterback that, if he turns out to be what they expect him to be, it could be a lot of fun watching this football team in the future, because if you've got a great quarterback, Drew, good things happen in this league. Outside of Matthew Stafford in Detroit, you got a good quarterback. You're going to the playoffs. You're winning your division. You're challenging for a Super Bowl. So that's the best hope I can give you with the Jets. Otherwise, history tells you they haven't won a championship since 1968. That's 53 years ago, so not great. The Giants, listen, they're in a really tough bind right now, but they have gotten out of it in the past, right? So if they hire the right guy, this is a team that has won 4 Super Bowls. They've gone to 5 Super Bowls since the merger. So there's a couple of ways to look at it, Drew. To tell you where to point you in which direction, it's really tough to say, because I don't know if the quarterback is going to be the next great one. You know, I don't know when the Giants are going to turn it around. But how about this, Drew? If you're a Yankee fan, the connection to Yankees-Giants is usually pretty strong. Most Giant fans are Yankee fans. Not all. I'm not. Dave Rothenberg's not. But I guess the logical answer for you, Drew, if you're a Yankee fan, be a Giant fan.
Okay, I got one more question for you.
Yes.
I also new to the area, and I moved into North Haledon. I'm sitting outside of Goffle Grill in Hawthorne. I hear you're from the area. What's good there?
Well, then you've got to get it. You've got to get a hot dog all the way. That's the Texas Wiener place. The Goffle Grill is the Texas Wiener place. That's what you got to go in there. Just go in there, Drew, and thank you for the phone call. Walk right in there, right there on the Wagga Road. Go through and introduce yourself and say, "I am Drew. I listen to the Michael K. Show, and I want two all the way. Two hot dogs all the way." All right, thanks a lot, Drew. Appreciate it.
I have a Texas Wiener.
That's where you got to go. Johnny Hangy's also very good in Fairlawn, used to be in Patterson, but if he says he's right in front of the Golfle Grill, that's where you have to go. That's the place. Let's go to Drew in Newark. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Drew?
Hey, Don. Happy holidays. I'm a big Ranger fan, but I don't really watch much hockey outside of Rangers hockey, so wanted to ask you, the expert, what do you think the ceiling is for the Rangers this year?
All right. I won't correct you. It was Golfle Road, not Wagga Road. I kind of lost it. I haven't been in Hawthorne in a bunch of years. The ceiling for this team, playoffs, and if everything bounces the right way, maybe the conference final. And that's the best. I don't think they're ready for a cup, Drew. I think they'll make the play. I think they've got a chance to be in the top three, which guarantees you that playoff spot. And I think they might have enough to get out of their division. Here's my prediction, Drew. I think they make the playoffs. They lose in the second round. I'll say they'll lose to Carolina in the second round because Carolina's kind of had their number. What happened in the bubble a couple of years ago, and that's not bad for a team that hasn't made the playoffs in five seasons. Right? We got to go back to 2017 when they lost to Ottawa the last time they've been to the playoffs. And I don't count what happened in the bubble with Carolina. They weren't going to the playoffs that year if it wasn't for COVID. That was postseason hockey. That wasn't playoff hockey to me. Is that fair, Anthony? You're a Ranger fan. That wasn't the playoffs.
No, it wasn't the playoffs. And they got swept anyway. Like it was.
And they got swept anyway, and deservedly so. So now they've built a team. So if they make the playoffs and they win a round, I think you could be happy. Again, the way the format is structured. So if the season ended today, and I think it's fair to say that they could be the three seed. So Carolina, I think, is going to win the division. So if the Rangers finish as the three seed in the Metropolitan, they'd hook up with Washington in the first round. And then in the second round, they would play the winner of Carolina in the wild card. Assuming it's Carolina, they'd face Carolina in the second round. That would be my prediction. Carolina losing six. Now, could they win? Hey, why not? Shesterkin continues to play like this. He can even the playing field tremendously. But as far as like what you can expect from this team that's still relatively young, Shesterkin's got no experience in the postseason. Neither does Kako. Neither does Lafreniere. All right? So those are, Hedl. These are guys that are all going to be, getting a kick at this can for the first time. And they're going to be relying upon Zibanejad and Kreider and Panarin and Strom, guys that do have a lot of experience. But overall, it's still a very young team. Fox has never tasted this before. Lindgren's never tasted this before. Keandre Miller hasn't. So there's a lot of young players. So if that's where they end up being, I think as a Ranger fan, you would be pretty satisfied. Is that fair, Anthony? You're a Ranger fan. If I said second round of the playoffs, would you be happy?
Absolutely. I know that this team had the talent. We just weren't sure with the coaching change what was going to come of it. This team seems to be clicking right now. Certainly, as Gallant pointed out, the last 10 games a lot better than the first 10 games. Structurally, they look pretty good. If they were to make the playoffs, win a playoff round, yeah, I think you'd be pretty happy if you were a Ranger fan, I think, in my opinion.
Omar, East Brunswick, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Omar?
Hey, Don, hope you had a great Thanksgiving.
I'm trying. And you, did you have a good one?
Oh, yeah, I ate my face off, man. I was literally in a food coma from like 8 o'clock to 11 today. So I was knocked out and dead, man.
It's the one day where you're allowed to stuff your face. So I'm glad you had a good time.
Thank you. You too, Don. So I just want to say, Don, I think you're absolutely spot on regarding Zach Wilson and what he's got to show this weekend. He's apparently 100% healthy. He sat behind these quarterbacks. He had the time off to look and see, and now he's going up against a team that's won two in a row, a typical letdown game for Houston going up against a team like us right now. So, and they're nothing special, honestly. So I honestly feel like Zach Wilson really has to show us something. He has to show us why we drafted him with the number two overall pick. Because quite frankly, Don, I mean, he's only played the one good game with Tennessee. Other than that, everything's been pretty bad with Zach Wilson. So he hasn't shown us anything, really. Little flashes here and there, but mainly it's been negative.
It's laid there for him. You know, it's really there for him. When you consider who the opponent is, when you consider how the backups to him have played since his injury, it's really there for him to go out there and give me something.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
It's also audition day in these next seven games for Daniel Jones. All right? They just fired the offensive coordinator, so they blamed their coordinator for finishing 31st in points last year and 26th in points this year. Jason Garrett's fault. So now Freddie Kitchens or however other many people are going to call plays, we still don't know. Apparently today or sometime this week was when the offensive and defensive coordinators are supposed to be made available to the press. The Giants did not make their OC available.
I don't care.
Which creates this intrigue. Is Freddie Kitchens making the calls? Is somebody, whatever, like Philadelphia cares.
It's geeky time.
They're playing the game, but still they said Jason Garrett was the problem. And when Joe Judge says he thinks they've got enough talent here, I'm assuming he's talking about the quarterback. So, seven games left. Let's go out and see if you're the quarterback. Because the one thing I'll say, and we'll talk about this with Mike Tannenbaum at the bottom of the hour, who all of a sudden is now not a Daniel Jones fan, is it's tough to be a good quarterback if you've got a bad offensive coordinator. And I don't think anybody looked at Daniel Jones as somebody that had the talent and experience to overcome bad coaching. So if it was indeed coaching, then you got to give Daniel Jones the benefit of the doubt here. He did play well under Shurmur / Shula in his rookie year because Shula was the offensive coordinator and Shurmur was the brain trust of that offense, and he looked good his rookie year. And then it all went downhill, supposedly because they didn't have the right OC in Jason Garrett. Well, you got seven games, Daniel, to show me something. Show me something. 1-800-919-3776, Tony and Bayonne. You're on ESPN New York. How are you, Tony?
How you doing, Don? I want to touch on the Giant defense. You know, they put a stat up the last game, 45 points they've given up in the last 2 minutes of the half. It looks almost like they're in a prevent defense before they go into the half. And on third down, they give up the sticks every play. If the receivers don't drop a ball or a quarterback don't throw a bad pass, they don't get off the field.
They cannot get off the field, Tony, on third down. And as good as they were last year, and good, we should, good with an asterisk, right? The best part of the Giants last year was their defense. I'm not sure how great the defense supposedly was. But even last year, Tony, they couldn't get off the field on third down.
Is it the scheme? Should they be more aggressive? I mean, they don't blitz that often. I mean, if you can't get to the quarterback, you got to stop being creative.
Well, they haven't gotten any linebacker play after Martinez got hurt. And, you know, it worked in the Kansas City game, Tony, but why are they playing so far off the ball? Why are they giving such a cushion in the slot?
Yeah, Riddick showed it. If you remember in the game, Riddick circled the whole soft zone, the whole middle of the field was wide open. You know, a quarterback just picked that apart.
Yeah, because it's not, Tony, when you really think about it, as much as it's a passing league, is it really a bomb league? Like, how many times do you really see a quarterback air it out for 50 yards? Or is it like a slant that goes for a lot? Or it's a button hook and they miss the tackle and he backtracks and he goes down the field. It's taking advantage of the slot. It's taking advantage of the high percentage passes and then the skill of the wide receiver getting the yards after the catch. You know, so what? Listen, I know, and it worked against Mahomes, but that was also when Mahomes was broken. Now, but you're seeing that. You don't think Tom Brady's looking at that slot and just salivating on all the open space that's there? These safeties got to move up. Don't be worried about getting beat deep. Worry about getting beat on those little 5-yard slants.
Well, we're going to see this week because the Eagles have been running the ball lately, so they're going to get the flip side of this now. And if they still getting caught with play action, you know, then you might see it might be bombs away.
It could be, and we'll see. Now, listen, Jalen Hurts is not Tom Brady, but I agree with you. The one thing that's really led to Philadelphia's turnaround, and thank you for the call, Tony, has been their ability to run the football. So will the Giants stick 8-9 guys in the box and dare Hurts to beat them? But you're going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage, and you got a chance to get beat there too. And, you know, their biggest problem against Tampa, and this worries me, boy, they had a lot of quit in them on Monday. They got a lot of missed tackles. There were opportunities to stop guys before the sticks, and they didn't do it. Very, very frustrating defensively, because even though the final score was 30-10, and you never really felt in the second half the Giants had any hope in the first half, I felt like, you know, maybe there was some hope. I really did. Maybe they can go, you know, back and forth and be kind of a wide open game. And then they didn't do anything offensively, and that's why the OC's out of here. But defensively, man, I know it's Tom Brady. I know you got some really good players on that team. Fournette can run the football. Evans is a world-class wide receiver. Gronk has always killed the Giants, or should I say tight ends have always killed the Giants, so certainly Gronk's going to. But come on, you got to make a stop. And the only touchdown they scored was when Evans dropped the ball, and that had nothing to do with the defense. Went right into Jackson's hands. He returned into the red zone. They got a touchdown, barely, and they needed a tackle option to do it. Ben in New Canaan, you're on ESPN New York. How are you, Ben?
Hey, Don. Happy Thanksgiving, man. I hope you have a good holiday.
I did. I hope you did as well.
Real quick, I don't want to take much. Hey, really. I'm recovering from yesterday. I have just two quick things. I'm so glad to listen to you today talk about what Joe Judge, you know, probably should be judged by. We're only a few days removed when he let the Freudian slip come out and said the problem is a coaching problem. And that's one of the few times where I agree with him. And I agree with you. Who cares about changing coaches again? We're not worried about the past. We're concerned about the future for this team. So as far as I'm concerned, he should have a winning record to even be considered the coach, because he put it on himself when he said it's a coaching problem. So that's my comment on that, and I agree with you. He should have to have a winning record between now and the end of this season, or we're just going to keep going through this stuff.
I don't think it's asking a lot, Ben, to go 4-3. I really don't. I mean, you should be able to beat the Dolphins. You should be able to at least get a split against Philadelphia. Why wouldn't you beat the Bears? Why not? It's only because they didn't want to embarrass Nagy and fire him like after the game on Thanksgiving that he still has a job. You know, so
that's right.
Why are you not? So those are three wins right there, and they've got Washington's number. I mean, if you're coaching for your job at Week 18, beat Washington. So 4-3 is not asking a lot. It's not. Ben, thank you for the phone call and happy Thanksgiving. It's not asking a lot at all. 4-3 is nothing. Again, the Charger game's tough and the Cowboy game's tough. But you know what? In this league, Houston beat Tennessee. So is it that crazy that the Giants can beat the Chargers? Are the Chargers that much better than the Raiders? The Giants already beat the Raiders. Now the game's going to be in L.A., but you know, I'm doing you a favor, all right? Because it's the holidays, all right? I'm not asking you to beat the Chargers. I'm not even asking you to beat the Cowboys. And you hung the first half against the Cowboys the first time you played them. I'm asking for you, and I'm not even asking you to sweep the Eagles, who are under 500. I'm asking you to beat Miami, split against Philadelphia, beat Chicago, beat Washington. That's all I'm asking you to do. And if everything's healthy and there's no excuses, I'm not asking you to split the atom. I'm asking you to go out there and win games, all right? Stop with the excuses. Go out there and win games. The Giants have not done that since 2016. Miserable, awful starts, miserable offensive losses. I'm not even going to get into it's the same style of loss. Losing because of turnovers, losing because of ridiculous decisions, playing not to lose. How about all those things, too? But let's leave that aside. Let's look at your record. I'm supposed to try to save a coach's job that's going to go out there and win 8-9 games in 2 years? Why? Give me a break. Let's go to Jake in Long Branch. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, man?
What's going on, Don? Hey, I wanted to get your opinion on where you think the Devils could end up this year, if they could make the playoffs or not.
It's so hard because, all right, who's not making the playoffs of in the top three? You know, Carolina's going, Washington's going, right? And the Rangers are off to a great start, but if it's not the Rangers, you figure it's going to be Pittsburgh. All right, so you got those three teams, right? Columbus is playing very well. All right, and if you got the top three teams in the Atlantic, right? You know, Florida's going. You know, Tampa's going to the playoffs. And you figure Boston's going to be there, right? So now, can they be better than, you know, Detroit? Sure. Ottawa? Yes. Montreal? Yes. Buffalo? Yes. So forget everybody else in the Atlantic Division. But can they be better than either Pittsburgh or New York? Can they get one of those wild card spots? That's what you have to ask yourself, Jake. They're keeping their head above water without Hughes, without Wood. You've got Blackwood back, and he's playing well. You know, they got a point against Minnesota that they usually would have squandered away and lost 5-0. They fought back and got a point. I think they got a shot, Jake. I do. Now, a lot of things got to break their way. I don't think they'll be in the top three in the Metro, but I think they got a shot at a wild card.
They're fun. They're awfully fun to watch this year.
Hey, Lindy Ruff is a good coach. I know he got a lot of slack last year, but he encourages a defenseman to join the play. Hamilton was a tremendous pickup for them. He's an elite offensive defenseman. He gets a lot of shots on goal. I like this team. It may not happen this year, but I do like the direction they're going into. And it looks like Kevin in New Jersey thinks the same way. You're on ESPN New York. What's up, Kevin?
Hey, Don. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Yeah, I was just piggybacking off the same thing, just like, you know, what your thoughts on the direction of the team. Obviously, the core is still super young, but, you know, we bolstered, you know, the defense on the back end. And in my opinion, I feel like Blackwood is top 15, could be even a top 10 goalie at some point in time here if he's healthy. So just your thoughts on the direction moving forward and how we can improve.
No, they're going in the right direction. They are. They're just a young team. Right? So you got to get Hughes healthy. You finally have Hischier healthy here. Zaka is really coming into his own as a player. You know, it just stinks for me. You know, I grew up a Devil fan, but obviously I'm all in on the Rangers now for what I do for a living. But it seems like the Rangers and Devils always play at the same time. So I try to catch up with highlights and read what I can. But, you know, they've got so many good, young, capable players that they're definitely moving in the right direction. It's such a competitive league. It is. And you see what's happened with this rebuild with the Rangers. And, you know, they think they turn the corner, and you go through some other things and different injuries and all that. But you feel like you got the right coach. You feel like you got the right general manager. And they are moving in the right direction. It's just a matter of what breaks you're going to get. Pittsburgh's getting older. Washington is getting older. So I do think that they can replace those teams when they come back down. It's just so difficult because while those teams are starting to come down, the Rangers are building for a bright future. Columbus is building for a bright future. You know, it doesn't look like Carolina's going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, these are really, really good teams you got to contend with. And we didn't even mention Philadelphia. That's kind of in that nebulous are they or aren't they type of playoff team that can really kind of throw a wrench into the whole thing. So you got to be patient for sure. You know, I was watching the game today, and I'm looking at Taylor Hall, and I'm just like, God, that guy won the MVP in 17-18 and won the Hart Trophy. That's the last time the Devils went to the playoffs, and they got beaten 5 games by Tampa. So they haven't done anything since they went to the Cup Final, and that's going on 10 years ago. That was 2012. It's been a long time, but you need to be a little bit more patient. Lee, out on Long Island, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Lee? What's up, buddy? We'll give you one more shot. You there? He wanted to talk about the Knicks and tinkering of the lineup. Well, I want to try to show you how well-rounded I am, so I want to take a Knick call. He wanted to know, should they tinker with the lineup? Well, they did against the Lakers, and it helped. But when the bench is playing better than the starters, you've got to start to think that some of the bench guys should get a look. And that's what they're doing. And it tells you something when the team plays better at times when Randall's on the bench. Now, Randall's got to start, but could we see more of Toppin? Could we see more of Burks? Could we see more of Quickley? We finally got a chance to see Grimes a little bit against the Lakers. Knicks are a very interesting spot here, all right? We've talked about this quite a bit on the show. All right, the whole medals for trying are over. Last year was great. Now you got to find it, man. You're judged on a different level now. You were one of the four best teams in the conference last year. Act like it. Because this is the best conference I've seen in a long time. This East is stacked. So they need to play with a little bit more consistency. They got the Laker win. We'll see what they do against the Suns, the defending Western Conference champions. But how long, I asked this a couple of days ago on the show, how long before Thibodeau starts getting some heat? And I'm not saying he deserves it, because I think he's a heck of a coach. But you remember, he's never won. He did great things in Chicago, okay in Minnesota. You know, he's not Greg Popovich. He's not coming here with rings jingling and jangling. And they were so poorly coached for years that as soon as we got a competent coach, we were ecstatic. But you got to start winning games on a consistent basis. And we knew it was going to be tough this year, but you know, you want to be a little bit better than they are. I've given them the benefit of the doubt because they've won some games they shouldn't have won, and they've lost some games they shouldn't have lost. But at the end of the day, they're above 500. They're keeping their head above water, and I think they'll be okay. But there's been too many times where the bench has done a better job than the starters. So to answer a question that never got asked, because the line dropped, could they tinker with this team as far as the lineup is concerned? Absolutely, if that's a word. Kevin in Jersey City, you're on ESPN New York. What's up, Kev?
Hey, Don, hello?
Hello.
Hello?
Yeah, what's up?
Hey, Don. Hey, first of all, I hope you had a great holiday. I had a good one as well. Definitely good. Ate more food than Michael would even think about touching.
Yeah, that's the amount of food that I ate that Michael's never tried is ridiculous.
I don't like pie.
Well, I mean, that's blasphemy as far as I'm concerned. Anyway,
I hate to say that phrase in these times, but really, there's a reason the phrase "as American as apple pie" exists. So for him never to try it, to me, is un-American.
If you don't like something, fine, but at least if you tried it.
Thank you. We can only deal with the taste buds that God gave us, right? But you got to activate them. He's not activating them.
Precisely. If I can, like, I can say I don't like pecan pie. You know what? But at least I've had it.
Yeah.
And I can say I didn't like it.
Life is all about trying things, and he hasn't tried. But what's your point on the Giants?
Correct, sir. Well, I just wanted your opinion on something as far as the coaching is concerned, because here's my thing. I look at Joe Judge when he first got the job. I never knew who this guy was. Like, I see a lot of these, me and Joe Judge are about the same age, 39, 40 years old. And a lot of these young guys who become coaches, they were some kind of wunderkind, you know, coordinators or offense, or off, as far as a coordinator, as a defensive coordinator or whatever. And they rose through the ranks quickly. That's why they get these jobs. But this man was a, you know, special teams coach. I wonder, because so many people keep, I mean, I listen to the show and everyone talks about how, oh, we got to keep Joe Judge in. What exactly are they seeing? Are they just looking through Belichick goggles at this man? Because I've yet to see exactly what is so special about him that even though we have not seen any kind of monochrome of success through his, I know, very short tenure, but still 2 years and no progress, that why does he deserve to keep his job? I mean, I just want your opinion on that.
The Giants are very loyal. John Mara saw something in him and probably wants to see through it. And the reason that they fired McAdoo and Shurmur as quickly as they did was because they were brought here specifically to get Eli in the playoffs and win one more ring. And once that ship sailed on both of them with losing records in their second seasons, there was no sense in bringing them back. So That's John Mara's logic. I believe in this guy. I think he's a good coach, and I want to give him that chance. But you're right. It's a win league. Win games, you stick around. You lose games, you're gone. And everybody's probably right. You know, Jordan Ronan's probably right. Michael Kay's probably right. They will bring him back. But is it deserved? To me, no. Also, I said John McVay. I meant Sean McVay. Because I'm an old man, and I remember his grandfather.
Dear God.
And I'm almost also a functioning moron.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Looks like the Mets have a third baseman, according to John Heyman. Eduardo Escobar gets a two-year contract worth $20 million. Now, he has been with the White Sox, Twins, Diamondbacks, and Brewers, so this will be his fifth team. He's 32 years old, but here's the positive. He's a switch hitter. He could play third, he could play second, he could play first. He was an all-star last year. He really came into his own over the last couple of years. In 2019, with Arizona, he had his first real breakout year. Hit 38 home runs, and on a lousy Diamondbacks team, actually played pretty well for them. Then, you know, forget about the shortened season in Arizona in 2020, where he hit just the four home runs, but, you know, didn't, you know, obviously played in just the 54 games. But then his totals in both Arizona and Milwaukee last year, 28 home runs, 90 RBIs. So the monster year of 2019, 35 home runs, 118 RBIs. He led the league with 10 triples. He's not a base stealer, but he's got some speed and a nice acquisition. Now, again, he's older. He's 32 years old, and I guess he'll be 33 on January 5th. So he will be 33 to start the season. But still, it could be a good stopgap guy, and maybe you catch some lightning in a bottle because he really seemed to come into his own the last couple of years in Arizona and Milwaukee. So the Mets have themselves, at least it appears, to be an answer at third base, and he brings some versatility to the table as well. So I wanted to update you on that. 1-800-919-3776. Ira, Staten Island, how are you, buddy? Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, Donnie. How are you? Happy Thanksgiving. And glad to hear you with Mike T. And it's gonna be, you know what? I am really excited about Sunday. I mean, I know the matchup. I know the game means nothing. But it's going to be nice to see Wilson back on the field. And, you know, you alluded to all week, it's going to be so interesting to see how he, you know, functions with this offense if the three quarterbacks have had some success, even losing efforts, you know, with LaFleur. And, you know, I'm very curious to see if they're going to play it close to the vest and just try to run the ball and just get the win, because the Texans might even be worse than the Jets. Or are they going to really just let him go out there and be himself, and hopefully he learns and do the checkdowns and take what the defense gives you? And to me, this is a big step, because these next couple of games, if we don't see any type of improvement and we're seeing what we saw from week one to four, I'm throwing up a red flag here, but my concerns will definitely be warranted.
Yeah, you want to take advantage of these seven games left, Ira. It's all about evaluating what you have. And if he can play well, then you're going to feel so much better about this team going into next season. You'll feel good about your quarterback. You'll feel good about LaFleur. Maybe they get a couple of games here down the stretch. It's all about just believing in 2022. But if he looks like the same quarterback he was when he was hurt, and then you just wonder, do you have what you need to move forward? So it's seven games a lot, Ira. That's a really good sample for him to go out there and do some things and get you to believe.
Well, look at Darnold. If you remember, after he got hurt in Miami, supposedly, and he sat down for a couple of games, and then when he came back, those last three or four games with Bowles, you know, he went toe-to-toe with Rodgers and with Watson, and he won a game up in Buffalo, and he looked much better, you know, than he did before they sat him down. But let's hope that's the same case with Wilson.
That's it, and it's a reason to watch, right, And thank you for the phone call, and hope you enjoyed your Thanksgiving. Is just, it's not about wins and losses now. It's just about evaluating what you have. Do you have the right coach? Do you have the right offensive coordinator? Do you have the right quarterback? All these things are just so incredibly important. And even though their season is over, seven games, that's a nice sample. Go out there and play well, and then you can really feel good about 2022. Jimmy in Connecticut, you're on ESPN New York.
What's up, Don? How you doing? Great Ranger win today, by the way. That was that pumped me up. And
I got to be honest with you, Jimmy. I was not expecting it. You know, they don't usually do well in these day after Thanksgiving games. And Boston was playing really well, and they fall behind early. But you know, I think you really got to like that win.
No, you do. And I actually was fully expecting a loss today, but pleasant surprise. Anyway, I want to make a point about the Giants. So I did a little bit of tedious little statistical digging, and if you define a quality opponent as a team who finished that season over 500, the Giants have beaten four quality opponents since the end of 2016. In my view, that playing football that poorly for that long doesn't happen unless there's problems all the way from the top down. So forget about Gettleman, forget about the draft picks. I'm wondering if Steve Tisch and John Mara just aren't as capable of running this organization as their fathers were. I mean, do you disagree with me? I mean, under their fathers. I mean, I know there was the 70s, I know there was the 60s. I wasn't alive for any of that, but it's just like, it's just so bad, so consistently, all of a sudden, out of the blue in 2013. It just, where did this come from?
Well, you know what it is? It's hiring the right people, Jimmy. And listen, I'm a Giant fan like you are, and I have all the respect in the world for the Maras. From Tim, Wellington, John, I have a lot of respect for what this organization has been since they came into the league in 1925. But since the merger, this team has been all about hiring the right people. And when they did that with George Young, who was forced upon them, by the way, and then Ernie Accorsi, what has happened? I'm sorry, I do not give Jerry Reese enough credit for those two Super Bowls, because I think a lot of that was built upon the shoulders of Accorsi before he left. And since Tom Coughlin, they have not been able to hire the right general manager. Since Ernie Accorsi, they have not hired the right general manager. And that's why ownership looks bad. If they go out and hire the right people, and that's why I would really look forward to them blowing it up and maybe having a chance to do that, then things can look better. An owner is only as good as the people that he hires. And when you hire poor coaching and poor general managing, this is what happens. And this is what's happened to this team. Now, Mike Tannenbaum sees a silver lining. He thinks there's talent here. So maybe Gettleman can get up. Maybe Joe Judge can get up. All right, boys, who's right? Got seven games. Seven games to prove Mike Tannenbaum right. Seven games to prove John Mara right. Go out there. You've got some winnable games. At least five of those seven games they have left are very winnable games. Go out there and do it. And show me that you're the right coach and you're the right general manager. And if they go out there and go 5-2, 6-1, become the hottest team in the league and start scoring points, and the defense all of a sudden finds itself, then maybe I'll be willing to hear out the possibility of Gettleman and Judge returning. But if it turns out to be 2-5 and another one of those ridiculous, you know, 4, 5, 6 win seasons, I'm sorry. Even though it's embarrassing to continue to blow it up time and time again, the one positive of doing that is maybe eventually you get it right.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.